It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Sure glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 25, and we've gotten to the 10th verse, but we're going to begin reading with verse 1 because I think it's so important that we kind of review that just a little bit, and then we'll read over to the 22nd verse. Please open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 25. And while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles, and we'll begin reading Exodus chapter 25. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly. With his heart ye shall take my offering. And this is the offering which ye have take, which we shall take of them, gold and silver and brass, and blue and purple and scarlet, and fine linen and goat's hair, and ram skin dyed red, and badger skin and shittim wood, oil for the lamp, for the light, spices for anointing oil, and for sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod in the breastplate. And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all the instruments thereof. Even so shall ye make it. And they shall make an ark of shittim wood, 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, 1 cubit and a half the breadth thereof, and 1 cubit and a half the height thereof. Thou shalt overlay it with pure gold. There within and without shalt thou overlay it, and thou shalt make upon it a crown of gold round about, and thou shalt cast 4 rings of gold for it, and put them in the 4 corners thereof, and 2 rings shall be in the one side of it, and 2 rings in the other side of it. And thou shalt make staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold. And thou shalt put the staves into the rings by the sides of the ark, that the ark may be borne with them. The staves shall be in the rings of the ark, they shall not be taken from it. And thou shalt put into the ark the testimony which I shall give thee. And thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, 1 cubit and a half the breadth thereof. And thou shalt make 2 cherubims of gold, of beaten work shalt thou make them in the 2 ends of the mercy seat, and make 1 cherub on the one end, and the other cherub on the other end, even of the mercy seat. Shall ye make the cherubims on the 2 sides, the 2 ends thereof. And the cherubim shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and their faces shall look one to another. Towards the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubims be. And thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark. And in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubims which are upon the ark of the testimony, of all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. Now, we're probably maybe going to get onto the table, but right now we're just going to end there and begin the study. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you today that we have the opportunity to come together and study your precious word. It's so important that we come together and look to your word for all of our direction and for all of our wisdom. There is so much in this world today that is wicked, and we need to look to you for peace and for joy that we can spend the time in this life with joy. The only way that can come is if we spend it with you. And please that you will guide and lead us. And yes, we're in this wicked world each day, but yes, you can give us a peace to walk in it, through it, around it. Just please, dear Lord, give us the strength to do it. Give us the wisdom of and the way to honor and glorify you with our lives in this world. And we know that we need to be good witnesses of your gospel. We need to share your gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of your Son, the Lord Jesus. We need to be bringing people to that saving knowledge, showing them your word, and your word will convict their hearts. And upon that conviction, your spirit is either accepted or rejected. And we ask that all that listen to this program will accept you as their Savior. Please, now, as we look at one of the most beautiful pictures of your Son, the Lord Jesus, in this section of Scripture, in this tabernacle, please open our eyes and have us never to miss the study, please, dear Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We do have a wonderful study here. I don't know how many of you folks have studied through the book of Exodus. If you have not, you have missed a blessing because it is a wonderful study. Sometimes people have in their minds that just the Old Testament books aren't worthy of looking at. They aren't necessary. I just go to the Gospels and through the New Testament. That's the only place that's necessary. Not true at all. If you do not study the Old Testament, if you do not use the references back to the Old Testament that are in the New Testament, you will have no understanding or a limited understanding of what God has to teach you today. So it's important that we study both, and so I hope that you enjoy this study. I'm glad that you've joined us today. We are looking first in this 25th chapter, in the first 10 verses, 9 verses, we're looking at what God called the people to give. And he says, give it willingly in the second verse there. Every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering. And so it's so important that we do give unto the Lord willingly, not grudgingly, as if we have to spend more time or have to give more money to support some missionary work or something like that. We should give it with a happy, with a glad heart. And I hope that you do just that. And if you have not been, why, you're missing a blessing. The money and the work, the support that you're doing is probably for a very good cause, and I hope that it is. I hope that it's a good, strong, fundamental preacher or missionary or work that you're going for, because there's so many liberals out there today that desire to pollute the Word of God. You pollute it, it's just like a glass of water. Whenever you pour a clean, beautiful glass of water and you put just the tiniest drop of dirt or some other chemical into that, it pollutes that whole glass of water. And it's the same thing with the Word of God. When you begin to take away from it because it doesn't suit you, or you begin to change it because you think it would be better, you're polluting it. And we need to be very careful that we're not doing that, that we're staying to the truth, the Word of God, from cover to cover, Genesis to Revelation. So please, that you look very carefully at this. And I hope that your heart, when you bring an offering unto the Lord, you give willingly. Where did these people get the gold and the silver and the brass and all these other things, the precious stones at the bottom there and the spices and things? They got those from the Egyptians. Remember, back in Exodus chapter 11, verse 2, God told Moses to tell the people to go to the Egyptians, and they will give you what you ask. And it was actually in payment for all the years of being a servant that they had fulfilled. It was a payment in that means, but that wasn't the purpose of it, was to get the compensation for their work. The purpose was that they would have in their hand, in their possession, goods prepared that would be used and given unto the Lord at a later time. And see, same thing with us. When God blesses us and gives us wealth or gives us a service or a talent, something that we can do, Oh, understand that it's not for you. It's not for me. It's for God and His glory. That's the purpose of it. No matter what that I may gain or get, it's so important that we see that the purpose, the reason that God gave it to us, was not that I can live more comfortably, not that I can sit back and put my feet up. It was for the purpose that God could be honored and glorified, and He needed those things to do it with. And so here it's the same way. He gave these Israelites instructions of how to gain this. Now, if they didn't believe Him, if they didn't have faith at that time and didn't walk up to that Egyptian and ask them, they didn't have anything to give, and so there'll be a loss there. There'll be a sad day that they can't think, well, I don't have anything. And I'm sure that they would be reminded that, remember in Egypt when you were supposed to inquire about these goods and you didn't? That's where you should have gotten it. And look at all that was gained, all the wealth that was handed to Israel and then handed on unto the Lord. Now, we're going to build something here, and we're going to build something called a tabernacle. A tabernacle is a tent, and when we look at this tent, we find that the plans of this tent is not something that's just in Moses' mind. It's something that God clearly has given him, and I believe that he even got to see it. I think God took him to a point and opened up the doors of heaven so he could see it, or God brought it down to him so he could see it. Whatever he did, he saw perfect the perfect tabernacle. And there is a dwelling place in heaven where our God dwells. There is a mercy seat in heaven, and we know this because after the pattern of the tabernacle, the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. And so we find that this sanctuary that they're going to build, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. The purpose of building this down upon earth was so that they would come, so that God could come and dwell among His people. Never before to come and dwell among His people, the Israelites. And so we begin now. He has the pattern. They have received the goods back in Egypt if they ask, and now they have an opportunity to freely give. I hope that they do freely give and not give grudgingly. I hope that you do the same today. I hope that you give willingly. And it's so important that you support the work of God, support the teaching of God's Word. And I hope that you do just that. It is so important. It takes a lot of money today to support the missionaries. It takes a lot of money today to use the radio as a ministry. It takes a lot of money to do those things. And we need to see that we are faithful in supporting the work that God has laid upon our heart. And so here they are giving, and they do. They give. And they give, many give. I'm sure some just decide to hold on to it because, oh, I got it now. I'm not going to give it to him. I'm not going to do that. If he did, again, the blessing is gone. And if you don't come and give willingly to the work of Christ, then the blessing is gone. God may have blessed you so much, but you have hoarded it and held it and hid it and all these things. Oh, my friend, be a giver that wants to give, please. Let's begin the work of the building of the ark. First of all, we're going to start on the material, some of the furniture that's in the ark, and we are going to begin here with the Ark of the Covenant, which is the very most important article, piece of furniture, and it's not because the ark is the most important. It's what is laid up on that ark, which is the mercy seat, and which applied upon that is the blood. And we were told at the end of this section we read that God will come and dwell among the people between the cherubims. And so what a wonderful piece of furniture we're looking at here. things aren't as big as you think. The courtyard is about 75 feet by 150 feet. Within the courtyard, we have the brazen altar first, and then a brazen laver. There's only two pieces of furniture, if you want to call it furniture, out in the courtyard. And then we come into the two rooms, what we call the tent or the tabernacle. And we find that the first room is only 15 feet wide, and it's only 30 foot long. You have a living room that may be that size, and it's 15 foot tall. Ceiling height may be a little higher, although there are some rooms, they call them great rooms now, that have that kind of height for their ceiling, if not more. Then we go beyond this holy place, the first room, and on to the Holy of Holies. 15 by 15 by 15, it's a cube. And in there is where this ark is going to be placed, is in behind a curtain. They only entered into this place once a year on the Day of Atonement. And so I want you to kind of get this in your mind. We're going to be looking at it for several weeks, and I want you to really get this straight in your mind. And we're looking first here again, the gate, the open gate of this courtyard is open to the east, looking east. It would be open the other direction. And so everything, the sun rises in the east. And so as you look at that, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later. But please keep in mind the courtyard, the brazen altar, the brazen laver, and then we come to the tabernacle itself, the tent. We have the first room, 15 by 30 by 15 feet tall, and then it again only has one opening, and you come right on into that room to get to the last room, the Holy of Holies, 15 by 15 by 15. In the center of that's this ark, and we're going to look here at the size of it. Not only is the room a 15 by 15 by 15, would be the size of a bedroom or a dining room or living room. That's especially in the years past why that was a common size, a 12 by 12 or 15 by 15 room. And that's where this ark's going to set. It's only one piece of furniture is going to be in that room, and we find it to be 2 cubits and a half a cubit. And 2 cubits, a cubit is about 18 inches approximately. Now, you can measure your cubit if you'd like, because it's from your elbow to the tip of your tallest finger, your longest finger. That's a cubit. And so you can build something, I'm sure that there were a standard for a cubit, but that's the measurement. And you measure that. You'll be surprised how close to 18 inches your cubit might be if you're an adult. And so, but we're looking at 2.5 cubits. So 2.5 cubits gets it into the area of 47, 48 inches. And so that's the length of the ark. And so it's just about 4 foot. Well, we find then the width of the ark, the breadth of it, is a cubit and a half. So we're looking at about 27 inches. And so a little over 2 foot by 4 foot is the size of this ark. And the ark itself is hollow. And so we're going to put some things in it, and we'll learn about that a little later too. But now we have about 48 inches by 27 inches, so 2 by 4, a little more with the 2 foot than that. And then it's going to be a cubit and a half high. And so it's going to be 27 inches tall too. And so I wish you could kind of look at that just a little bit. Get your ruler out, your old measuring stick out, and you see the size of this piece of furniture. It's not very big, is it? 4 foot by 27 inches, and then it's 27 inches tall. And it's kind of fun sometimes just to look at the size of that. Now let's look to see how it was constructed. We've looked at the size. Now thou shalt overlay it. I'm in the 11th verse. Thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, within and without shalt thou overlay it, and thou shalt make upon it a crown of gold round about. Okay, let's back up here just a little bit. Thou shalt overlay it with gold. They're going to use acacia wood or shittim wood, as the scripture calls it here at the very beginning of verse 10. So you make this wooden box, and then you take that wooden box and you take this gold and you melt this gold down and you apply it perfectly inside the box and outside the box. Everything is gold. And then you come up on the top and you make a, you've heard of crown molding? Well, that's what this is. They put a crown then around the top of this box that we're looking at. And again, when you look inside, and it's just a little bit bigger than 2 foot and a little bit longer than 4 foot, and that's that are a little smaller than 4 foot and a little bit longer than 2 foot, and it's about 2 foot 27 inches tall or deep as you would look inside. And it tells us now again to overlay it with gold and then put this crown around it. Thou shalt cast 4 rings of gold for it, and put them in the 4 corners thereof. 2 rings shall be on the one side of it, and 2 rings on the other side of it. Now, what would be the purpose of these rings? These rings that are molded into this ark, onto the side of this box, is for one purpose, and that is we're going to slide some staves or some poles through those rings, and those staves will stay there forever, as it says, and the purpose is to bear the ark, to bear it up, to carry it, because you see, this tabernacle is it's not like a building that we build today. It is a tent. And this tent is something that is about to look at the purpose of tearing it down to move it, because they're going to be traveling for 40 years with this tent, and then take it on into the promised land eventually. But so the purpose of this tent is so that they can tear it down. They need to carry this furniture. And so they're going to put 4 rings, 2 on each side. They're going to take 2 poles, slide them through the rings, and they're going to bear up the ark and carry it. And so get that kind of in your mind. Maybe you've seen a picture of it. And so we have the 4 corners thereof. 2 rings shall be in the one side of it, and 2 rings the other side of it. And thou shalt make staves of shittim wood and overlay them with gold. So they're covered with gold as well. The rings, the staves or the poles, the box, everything has this gold. And thou shalt put the staves into the rings by the side of the ark, that the ark may be borne with them. So as a purpose of carrying it. The staves shall be in the rings of the ark. They shall not be taken from it. Never should they be removed. Thou shalt put into the ark the testimony which I shall give thee. Now, we're talking about the testimony. And then over here in the verse 21, it says, and thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. Same thing they're talking about. Now, we have 3 things that go into this box, into the ark. And one will be the testimony, the Ten Commandments. The second we find to be Aaron's budded staff. Now that's a ways away here, not so far, but a little bit, where they determine who's going to be the high priest. And his staff buds. Of all the 12 tribes, God chooses which tribe is going to be the priestly line. And that is going to be through Aaron or the Levites. And so Aaron's staff budded, this old stick, and here it was growing fruit. And also we're going to find the manna that God feeds the nation of Israel with each day. It also is going to be placed inside this box, and so inside the ark. Those things will go inside. Now we're going to look at the 17th verse. The 17th verse we can't miss. Thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold. two cubits and a half shalt thou shalt be the length of it thereof, and a cubit and a half the breadth thereof. And thou shalt make two cherubims of gold of beaten work, shalt thou make them in the two ends of the mercy seat, and one of the cherubims on the one end, and the other cherub on the other end, even of the mercy seat, shall ye make the cherubims on the two sides thereof. This mercy seat. You notice that the box affair, the ark, is made of shittim wood and of gold. It's overlain with this gold. Also, we have the rings and we have the staves, the poles, also overlaid with gold. But now we come to the mercy seat, and the mercy seat we find to be pure gold. They pour this, it is pure gold. And it must be. And we're going to be talking about all these things later. Why that one has wood and is overlaid with gold. Why the one is pure gold. And we have the cherubims, the cherub, one on one end and one on the other end, facing each other with their wings raised. And we find that that's the place that God will come between the cherubims and meet with the people. And so we find that the mercy seat is of pure gold. Mark that. Remember that. The mercy seat is pure gold. Again, two cubits and a half and a cubit and a half the breadth. It's the same size. It's right on top of this box. And it will close in it the Ten Commandments, the manna, and Aaron's budded staff. But the Ten Commandments is the real item that we're looking at here. Because there's a reason that this has to be a mercy seat. Because, you see, we've placed the law, and the law does nothing but condemn. And so we need mercy, and we have a mercy seat set up on this box. And so remember that. Put that in your mind so that you don't miss that and don't forget that. And then we have the two cherubims, the one facing each other. The wings stretch forth. I've seen several pictures, and that's all it is, just somebody's imagination. Some the wing tips touch. Some the wings are just raised towards each other. We don't know, and we don't need to know, because we don't need to be making this thing. We just need to see its purpose, and its purpose is a very beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus. And now we find in the 20th verse, and the cherubim shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and their faces shall look one to another towards the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubims be. And thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee, and there I will meet with thee. I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims, which are up on the ark of the testimony, of all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. Oh, it's a good place for us to end. We're just about out of time. Now, we've looked at the general size of the tabernacle. Again, the courtyard, 75 by 150. We have the ark, the brazen altar, and then the brazen laver first. Then we have the tabernacle sitting next, and it is 45 feet long total, and 15 foot wide, 15 foot high, two rooms. First room is 30 feet. The second room is just 15. This ark and the mercy seat, the cherubims, where God's going to meet, will be in that final room, the Holy of Holies. You'll hear me refer to that several times. And it's the Holy of Holies, or the most holy place. And so it is important that you see where that's located, and there's going to be a veil in front of it. You remember when that veil was rent in two when Jesus Christ died on the cross? That was the veil between the holy place and the Holy of Holies in the temple. And this temple is of the same direction as the tabernacle. And so My dear friend, we need to look to the Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation. Please trust in Him today. Please ask Him into your heart to save you. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?